Praise God. Hallelujah. You rowdy bunch. Sit down and be quiet. Praise God. I want to minister to you. Look at that. Look, the tag on my Bible is the same color as Kamal's shirt. It's a bishop shirt this morning. I think he's running for Bishop of Wembley. Praise God. In Jesus' name, you'll run and run and run, not grow weary and not grow faint. He said this morning about my wife, Jo, about the energy she has. But I don't know where he gets his energy. I mean, it's like, what, you sleep, what, 3-4 hours a night? Maybe three? Yeah, four? And he's up, yeah, he's up praying all night, and he's a very holy guy, you know? Doesn't watch boxing or nothing. Mixed martial arts, praise God, hallelujah. Before we get into any more trouble, Ephesians chapter 2, I want us to look at something, and I want to minister to you today on allowing the Word of God to mark your life. Allowing the Word of God to mark your life. We must allow God to take His Word and brand us. It's the only way I can describe what I see in my spirit concerning what God wants to do this year in some lives. Letting Him brand us with His Word. Let me explain what I mean. As we read this scripture, I'm sure it will come to more, there'll be more light on what I'm saying. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." You were dead, thank you, in your trespasses and sins. How many of you, you didn't feel dead before you knew Jesus? Right? I mean, I felt very much alive. I couldn't get enough alive. You know, I was a fly guy. I was a wannabe criminal. I was enjoying myself. But the Bible says that I was dead. So what kind of dead was I? What kind of dead was I? I wasn't physically dead, thank God. I wasn't emotionally dead. But I was spiritually dead. I was separated from God, separated from the life source of heaven. I didn't even know I was. I didn't even know God was real. I was raised as a Catholic. Anyone here been Catholic before? Yeah, I mean, if you're from Ireland or Italy, you've got to be Catholic at least once in your life. It's mandatory on your passport. And, just growing up in that Catholic thing, I didn't understand it. My dad would bring us to church. You know, he'd be one kind of guy at home, and then out in the street, he'd be another kind of guy. And he'd lead us all. We'd be like ducks in a row. You ever see the Catholic families? We had our own row to ourselves, you know. We'd come in, and it's like... And then the guy would come in with the incense. I used to love the smell of that stuff. I didn't know what that meant, but it was funky, you know. It's like... You know, and they were all in like these dresses, and there's another guy walking with the cross. It's like, and you know, woe betide you if you made noise or if you were shuffling around even, you know, you get that thing. Like, first of all, you get pulled by the ear, and the next thing, dunk, slapped in the head, and the next thing, kidney punch, bam, you know, until you behaved yourself. And, but it didn't mean anything to me. It didn't have any significance in my life. I didn't have any understanding of what was going on. I was religious, but according to what the Word of God says, I was separated from that life force. And this is where, you know, thank God that people, if you've been more than 5 minutes in Harvest, you'll realize that we're not really religious, but we are very relational with God, because there's a huge difference between having a religion and having a relationship with God. There's a huge difference. And I know now, looking back, when I read this scripture, verse 1 that we just read, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins," now looking back, I can say, yes, I was. I most certainly was dead, but it wasn't the kind of dead that I knew. And what he's talking about here is the difference between being alive physical or emotionally or whatever, and being alive to God. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you alive to the Lord? One of the things that really stuck out in me when I gave my life to Jesus and when I said, yes, Lord. The night I had this encounter, I had, for those of you who know my testimony, I grew up in Tottenham in North London. I wanted to rob banks. That was my thing. I wanted to be an armed robber. And I was well on the way to exercising my dream, to the extent that one night, I don't know what had happened. I must have taken something or smoked something or whatever. I don't know, drunk something. I don't know what it was. And I had a dream that night, and the dream was so vivid that I robbed this particular Barclays bank in Seven Sisters that literally I didn't go out of my house for the next 4 days. I was convinced that I had blagged this bank with a mate of mine. And I was really, really nervous, like shaking nervous, you know, like really kind of tripping, you know. And that's how much the desire was on me to be a bad boy. Or as they say in Tottenham, bad boy. You know what a bad boy is, yeah. Those of you, I know, I'm talking to half of Northwest London right here, man. I can tell. And so that was my thing. And one night in the west of Ireland, I was in my cousin's house, and I had an encounter with the presence of the Lord. And the only way I can describe it was that if you could distill all the love that you've ever felt in your life and distill it into a human form. And I felt that presence standing behind me. And it literally scared the hell out of me. It's the only way I can describe it. And if you'd interviewed me a week later, and you'd shown me that scripture, and it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, I would have said, absolutely I was. I mean, I was going to hell and enjoying myself. But you see, I didn't know. And there has to be something. One of the things that God wants to do this year, I know, for us as a congregation overall in Harvest, is that he wants to have a series of like one-on-one encounters for people. Because there's nothing like encountering God. You couldn't have talked me into Christianity in a month of Sundays. I was raised as a Catholic, educated by Jesuits. I mean, like, and they're not just Catholic priests, man. I mean, they are the SS of the Catholic Church, so to speak. And not to denigrate them whatsoever. I don't mean that offensively. I meant that in terms of their commitment and their zeal for the things of Christianity. They were the counter-reformationists. Whenever a spiritual move of God occurred in Europe, the Pope used to send the Jesuits to put it out and draw people back into the Catholic fold. I mean, these guys were real, proper zealots. And so I was born into a Catholic home, raised in a Catholic family, educated in Catholics. I was in church every week. This is why sometimes when you get to, like, you know, you meet charismatics and they're not in church every week, it's like, dude, but to me, that's basic Christianity. I did that before I got saved. And you can't even do it after. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what? And so I've got this thing ingrained in me. But all the way through that thing, I was dead. I didn't know God. And then when I had that encounter with God, and I literally, the first words I ever said to the Lord, the first ever real prayer from my heart as a born-again person was, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were real. I wouldn't have told those jokes. I wouldn't have done those bad things. I mean, literally, the night I got saved, I dropped my third girlfriend off home. I mean, you know, I was a boy. What do they call it? A player. I was a player's player. Yes, sir. And you see, but I was dead, and I didn't know it. And suddenly, when I had that encounter with God, when Christ came into my life, suddenly I became alive. I became alive in ways I didn't know was possible. I became a spiritually alive person. And until, really, and less than until we have that kind of encounter with God ourselves, then, like, what is our relationship with God based on? Until we can encounter his presence. You know, the Bible says, a very common passage of scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, We don't know what that means because many times because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And so we have to be spiritually alive to access it and to seek. What does that word seek mean? Prioritize it. Put it first. Allow God to be number one. May everyone under the sound of my voice today have an encounter with God in this year of Jubilee. In Jesus' mighty name. There's nothing like having a proper encounter with God, you know? And it's amazing how tradition sneaks in. Tradition kind of tries and makes its way in at virtually every level in Christianity. So, like, you know, back in the early days, in the 70s, people would go to these big prayer meetings and they would line up. There'd be a prayer queue. And then, you know, the man or woman of God would lay their hands on them and ask the Holy Spirit to visit them. And suddenly they'd fall down under the power. And now falling down under the power of God has become a tradition. And sometimes the power of God isn't even on the person who's praying for the person. They're trying to wrestle them to the ground because, like, I have to prove that something spiritual has happened. Get down on the floor. Pah! Do you see what I mean? I've seen people push it, like, aggressively. Like, have you seen that? Oh, Lord, oh, bless them, bless them, bless them. And they're, like, fighting them and, like, you know, I'll poke the head of you if you don't fall down. You know, that kind of thing. And it's just what's all that about? That's not an encounter. That's some nonsense. May we have real encounters, life-changing encounters with God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it at all. And it's amazing. You know, I've had a lot of friends in Christianity, and I love hearing the stories of when people have had encounters with God. I just love hearing what their encounter was like. And, you know, even really, I suppose, we've become a bit traditional in terms of calling our encounter weekends, when a lot of people who go have never had an encounter with God, had an encounter. Isn't that ironic? Maybe we need to change the name of that thing and just, I don't know, call it a seeking weekend or a something weekend or something where we can actually go there with a sense of expectation. Lord, I really want my experience with you. How many of you have had a personal encounter with God? Personal encounter. Wonderful. I'm praying that every one of us has one, like a proper thing that's changed, that you can look back and you can say, wow, do you know what? There's a new me. I know I'm new. You don't have to talk me into this thing because I've experienced God for myself. There's something about it. And it's amazing, you know, you can go through, what you can go through after an encounter is just so much greater than trying to kind of balance on this, oh, you know, well, how do you know God's real in your life? Well, my pastor said so. What's that? That's not a proper reason for believing in God. You know, who is it who said, it was Paul the Apostle, he said, I know in whom I have believed. Why? It wasn't because he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament or anything like that. It's because God knocked him straight off his horse. May God knock you off your horse in the name of Jesus. I want to create a hunger and a thirst for spiritual encounters in this place. And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean you go all spooky. In fact, the night I had my spiritual encounter with God and I realized I was a sinner, no one in the room knew until something came out of my mouth. I thought, who said that? I mean, you imagine, I'm sitting there in this kitchen in Ireland and I'm saying, you know, guys, I really believe that God wants us to build his kingdom on earth. I mean, this is the guy I've dropped my third girlfriend off 2 hours before, and now suddenly I'm building the kingdom of heaven on earth with my cousins. Lord have mercy. And my cousin Mike pointing his finger at me, he's shouting, that's Jesus talking through you, Paul. And that's freaked me out even more. I mean, I was like, total freaky experience. But literally, the next day, if you had asked me if that thing was true, I would have known. I would have told you straight, wow, well, something happened last night, man. I knew. It's the only time in my life I've known that I'm a sinner. That was it. And literally, God took my sins away in one move of his spirit. May you have your encounter with God. I want to create a hole in you that you have your, you just reach for that thing in the mighty name of Jesus, that something very powerful happens to you. May that hunger follow you in Jesus' name. Wow. I remember after that, now a month after I got saved, I still hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit and, you know, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I was hungry for that experience. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Every day I was praying this thing. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be tongue talking until I run out of things to say. I mean, that was my thing, you know. And just the desire, just the hunger for that encounter. You know what, guys? And also, let's build up that hunger. Let's build up that desire as we get to our encounter weekends and as we get to this conference that's coming up. You know what Kamal said about the mixing, the connection between the apostolic and the prophetic, where you just know, like, Lord, I'm ready. Even just do some fasting or whatever in the lead up to the thing. I mean, it's in March, so we got plenty of notice for it to happen. You know, this ain't next week. You're not going to have kind of miss your Burger King or your KFC or whatever too like near. We've got time to build this thing and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want, if there's one thing I want from you this year, it's an encounter with you. Thank you for Jubilee. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you, Lord God, for increasing my net worth. Thank you for taking me on that Jubilee journey of the blessing of God, the favor of God, every captivity in my life, every trait that's not from you coming off of my life in the name of Jesus, establishing new generational blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever things follow me, whatever kind of junk follows me in the spirit, casting all that off absolutely in Jesus' name as my Jubilee. But number one, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to encounter you. I want to experience you. The Lord God, let this hunger come from the inside of me. Let your touch be upon me. Let me know that I have encountered you this year somehow, some way, in the mighty name of Jesus. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And just literally just draw out that hunger and that thirst. You see, and one of the reasons why it's important to engage and to seek an encounter like that is that often we don't know who we are. We really don't know who we are. And there is a clear distinction. This is one of the reasons why I love the book of Ephesians and Colossians, particularly in the Bible. I believe there's a clear distinction between the as Paul was writing to these churches in Ephesus and Colossae, there's a clear difference between who we are and then as a result what we do as a result of who we are, if you see what I mean. So he's talking about, in that Ephesians 2 verse 1, he's talking about, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then he goes on to say, you know, among whom you formerly walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. And, you know, you were engaged, you were involved in that kind of thing. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his love which he loved us, even when we were dead, God made us alive together with Christ. So we were made alive in the realm of the spirit before we were even dead. Work that one out. Isn't that amazing? That we were made alive in the realm of the spirit. We were made alive. So the alive me has been around longer than the dead me. So the new me has been there longer than the old me. Boy, that was great news for me. That meant that there was something by the Holy Spirit preserved for me in heaven that would be better than the old me, that God himself, drip by drip, encounter by encounter, word by word, scripture by scripture, impartation by impartation, that God was actually putting in me. And you know what? There's been times, how many of you, you've had an encounter with God and you've just felt like a new person afterwards? new person. I saw something, Val, as you were testifying this morning about being at Healed for Life. And you actually said it. You said you feel lighter or something. And I knew by looking at you this morning that one of the things that you had suffered from in the past was the spirit of heaviness. And I believe that that thing was that regret that you were talking about brought a spirit of heaviness on your life. And you know what? That will have repercussions in the natural. Your heart will last longer as a result because there's less heaviness on your heart. It's amazing. You know, we talk about a heavy heart as a spiritual thing, but I really believe it's got psychosomatic connotations as well. That when you come out of the presence of God and you just know that you're this new creature. You just know that something has changed. What the Word of God has said about your life. And this is the great thing about how these two books have been written, Ephesians and Colossians. Number one, it tells you firstly who you are. And then it tells you what to do as a result of who you are. Religion, we get it wrong a lot of the time. We say, you know, the Catholic Church, be good. You know, we had plenty of Irish priests. Lord have mercy. There were hundreds of them, like, roving around these churches. And they'd say to me, oh, yeah, oh, what's your name, Paul? Oh, be good. But like, I didn't know what good meant. How could I know what good meant? What does that mean? Do what you want to do? Behave like you? Or what did it mean? Do you see what I mean? And the scripture tells you, firstly, who you are. And there's an element of believing this stuff because I didn't feel, look, if you look at verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, I didn't feel like his workmanship. I felt like some bashed up, old, like washed up dude. Can you imagine at 18, I felt older than I do now? I felt like an old man. Weird, isn't it? Just carrying all that heaviness. Carrying all that wandering, thinking that I was enjoying my life, and really, I was just in this sorry cesspool, not knowing. I mean, how much didn't I know about myself? And then God, who is rich in mercy, visited me. And look at this now. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say it out loud. I'm his workmanship. You see, I had to believe what the Word said about me. I had to have my encounter with God and then do as a result of believing and encountering, I could do. So, like, for instance, you know, I've been married to the same woman for 23 years? I mean, and I've never been unfaithful. But yet, on the night I got saved, I had three different girlfriends on the go that day. That's a miracle. I'm a miracle, right? I mean, dude, I never saw an ugly girl in my life. I didn't know what an ugly girl looked like. I'll let that one sink in. That one will hit you about 2 p.m. Praise God. And the Bible says, it says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You may not feel near. Brought near to what? Do you see what I mean? Often, like, because we've never encountered God, we don't even know that we are close to him. I've seen people where the Spirit of God rests on them like a dove because of their nature, just the heart that they have is a welcoming heart, welcoming the Holy Spirit, and they don't know it. And they're walking around, and the presence of God is on them, and they're unaware. It's amazing, absolutely amazing, because the kind of heart they have, welcoming the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, I don't know you. I've never encountered you, but I love you. I want to make a resting place for your spirit in my heart. That's the kind of prayer some of these people have been praying. And it's like, you know, the life they live, they're more conscious of the Holy Spirit than we often are. And it's like, it's just in the realm of the Spirit, it's just so beautiful to see. You know, I mean, like the way that God, you know, there's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. It says, before he will call, I will answer him. In other words, God's just waiting for them to pray about something because he just wants to show himself strong and good in their behalf. Wow. Well, how do you get there character-wise? How do you get somebody who is this weirdo? Like, if I met my old self now, I don't know what I would say. I'd probably want to beat him up, lock him up, cuss him out. I mean, you name it. It would be just so weird meeting my old me, because the new me, the one that's come from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the impartation, by the allowing the word of God to grow in my heart, is much, much nicer, much better. Dude, if I was preaching this morning and it was the old me, I'd be like, right, everyone close your eyes and lift up your hands to Jesus. And, you know, I'll watch how far the range of the mic goes, and then I'll be legging it straight out with your bag. That's guaranteed. I mean, my goodness me, I would have been the number one mobile phone trader in Tottenham. You trust me. My goodness me. That's the old yuck of me. And if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. If he can do it for you, he can do it to anyone under the sound of my voice. We're looking for that encounter. We're looking for that experience of God's holy presence, his spirit. Father, make my heart a dwelling place for your spirit. Find something in me. Let something in my nature be born that I can be a dwelling place for your spirit. Oh, praise God Almighty. And you know, taking some of this stuff from Ephesians and from Colossians, it takes a lot of faith to believe this kind of thing. How on earth, if you go back to verse 10, how on earth could I have believed that I was God's workmanship? Look at the state of me. Broke as a joke, heavy-hearted, like just my politics all up the spout, like didn't know right from wrong in terms of my politics, in terms of my ethic. I mean, my ethics was like, if it feels good, do it. And then the Bible is talking to me about like change and about transformation and about becoming this new person. And it's like, well, how? Like, I'm going to need some serious help. Do you ever see the standard that God raises of living in your life? And it's like, dude, I'm going to need some real help. Walking, you know, my wife's walking down the aisle and I'm thinking, bro, I'm going to be spending like, who knows, 50, 60, 70 years with this woman. And it's like, Jesus, give me the strength. You understand? Anyone who's been married, you know the score. Please, like some wives are nudging their husbands here and beating. It's like, I can see that. You know the way a woman, like, she doesn't have to say anything. She'll just go like this with her lips. Look. That's it. That's all they have to do. Job done. End of story. And it's like, wow, I need help. I need help to be the kind of husband that you want me to be towards this woman. Now, this woman's not just my wife. She's his daughter. I've got to be a good boy. Amen. Hey, mommy. And one of the great things, you see, the way that the Holy Spirit helps us is that he shows us who we are first. If we can believe who we are, then he walks us out in how to behave. Therefore, he says in Ephesians 5, thank God he didn't put it in Ephesians 2. Can you imagine if it was the other way around? Can you imagine if God gave you like 1,500 do's and don'ts, and then at the end he tells you who you are? Thank God he puts it the right way around. He tells us who we are so that we can then do what he calls us to do. Husbands, love your wives. I mean, you know, you want to electrocute them in the bath. You know, she's having a bath, singing a song, and you want to drop the iron in. Okay, no, no. Okay, that's just you. Sorry, I'm just like telling you some old school beef that I had me with my... No, thank God, we've never had it that bad. Praise the living God. But literally, you know, one of the reasons why the Bible says husbands love your wives is that the more of an atmosphere of love that a woman receives from her husband, the more she blooms. Yes, and the more she blooms, the more she can radiate the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wife is the glory of the husband. Yeah, so if you want to know whether a person is a man of God or not, look at the wife. Can you imagine? Thank God for your example, Bruce. You're doing very well. Praise Jesus. Sharon, congratulations. Yes, you've passed the test. Hallelujah. But you can tell. You can tell. Because that's the way that God ordained it to be. That we are somebody so that we can do something. And not the other way around. If you're doing something, but you aren't the person who's really doing it, and there's this kind of double life, this double standard, this kind of, like, you know, flip-flop or whatever, then the answer is encounter. We'll have this encounter with you. Father, I want this encounter. In fact, just close your eyes. Just want to just pray along this encounter thing. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for how you enable us to have a relationship with you. Lord God, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you made us alive together with Christ. You raised us up into the heavenly places. And Father God, I pray this morning for every single person under the sound of my voice, the Lord God, they would have a fresh encounter with you, that wherever they're at, Lord God, even in the night season, even in their dreams, even if it's an encounter weekend or one of our conferences or something else that's happening, Father, even on the bus or whatever, it doesn't matter how or when or where, Father, but let that be the portion of everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, that they would have an encounter with you, a supernatural experience where your hand of love has touched them, where your grace has come upon them and changed them, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit, Father. We thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the day that you walked into my life, literally. I thank you so much that even though I was dead in my trespasses and sins, at that moment of encounter, when I asked you to come into my life, Lord God, you changed me. I didn't even know how, Lord. I didn't even know how that decades on, I'd be serving you. I'd be loving you. I'd be wanting more of you, Lord God. Father, I pray that each heart here this morning would find a place in their heart that your word can dwell in them richly, in all wisdom and understanding, Father. So many things that we don't know, so many things that we don't understand about your word that tells us who we are. And some of it is literally unbelievable at the outset, Father. It's so impossible to believe many times that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Lord God, a people set apart for you. Father, it's so difficult to believe so many times when we see who we are and the state we're in and how we live our lives, Lord God. But Father, I know that your Spirit is calling us. Your Spirit is working on us, Lord God. Your Spirit is saying to us this morning, give me a place in your heart. Give Jesus a place in your heart, where he can be welcome, and watch what he can do. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your Spirit at work in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the way you touch our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people say, amen and amen.